Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that is probably not quite as tall as some other podcasts out there, but that carries itself with the air of a gentleman that is much taller. I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford, joined by your other host, Fenton Costello. Fenton, hello.
Is this because we've got good core strength, or what is it? Like, we've got good posture?
Years ago, right, I remember I was walking down the street with Lorna, the graphic designer that did all our artwork. So Lorna would have been about 14 or 15. And she was with her best mate, Katie. And they were walking behind me, just walking down the road as you do. And I heard Lorna giving me a sound effect as I walked. She was behind me going, swagger, 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 swagger. And I think that's it. I think the key is the swagger, Fenton.
Have you got like a Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta heading out on the town type swagger? Is that what we're talking about?
Do you know what? It's interesting you should say that, because I heard a theory a while ago that everybody has like the rhythm of a song underlying their movements. And mine is Staying Alive. I do walk to the rhythm of Staying Alive.
Awesome.
Or rather, I strut to the rhythm of Staying Alive.
Why not?
Well, like I always say to the kids, nobody's going to be confident on your behalf.
That's a good point.
Might as well fucking rock it yourself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Speaking of rocking it,
mm-hmm.
It behoves me.
That's a word.
I would like to mention some of our sponsors. I know you're generally against it, Fenton, because you're a maverick.
No, I'm all for our sponsors. There can be more sponsors. It is fine. I will do nothing but ad reads. You can dress me up like an F1 driver. It is fine.
Hang on. Are you saying that sponsorships are available?
Sponsorships are available across our media empire.
Because, and it is worth pointing this out, we have the Gambling Files podcast, which this is.
Mm-hmm.
We have Addiction, an hour with hour, which is probably for, you know, your academics, researchers, people in compliance, people in RG, where we talk to academics and researchers about different types of addiction around the world and their commonalities. And that's getting really good.
Mm.
And we've got Desert Island Discs until the BBC catches up with us. And
come at me, bro.
No, because our island's tropical. Yeah. I'll fucking learn them. We've got Desert Island Discs where luminaries and thought leaders, I love that expression, in the gambling industry get to choose what they have with them on a tropical island, which they're stranded on. And they choose 3 albums, 3 books, 3 movies, 1 song, not on the albums, 1 pet from any point in their lives, 1 object, 1 dessert, and 2 pieces of advice. And we've had some great people on. The last Desert Island Discs, although there probably have been another one by the time we put this episode out, the last Desert Island Discs was Gary Green, who's been on this podcast before, but you missed him.
Hmm.
I knew Gary would come out with good stories, right? And he did not let me down. We got his Tupac Shakur story out again, which I just love.
Wow.
But he told a story about going to Johnny Cash's house for a barbecue.
Amazing. Why not?
It's awesome.
It's a phenomenal story as well. So that's Desert Island Discs, which actually has no sponsors as it stands. We're just developing that organically.
Concept.
Exactly. Concept. Exactly.
That's what they'd say in Vegas, right? It's a concept.
Yeah, and it's a wild concept. It takes people a little bit of time to get their heads around it. But we've had Walter Bunyan, we've had Gavin Isaacs, we've had Gary Green. We've got Simon Thomas coming on soon. We've got just all sorts of people. Jen Bowman from IGT, she's a friggin' legend. Tracy Cohen of the Association of Gaming Equipment Manufacturers, all sorts of people. And it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Alex Pratt from Clarion, which brings us back to how we got into this conversation, Fenton.
Mm.
Sponsors.
I think we should thank our sponsors.
Well, Alex isn't at Clarion anymore. I don't know if you'd heard that news. Did you hear that news?
He's at World Gaming.
He's at World Gaming. Because they changed their name.
They did rebrand.
Devious. Do you think they just had like debt collectors coming around and they're like, let's fool them?
Just own it. A World Game. We're a World Gaming brand. Own it.
Do you think it's weird that nobody else thought, World Gaming? I mean, it's so obvious.
Well, you just play the game and you just launch Universe Gaming, right? Well, it could be World Gaming, but we're Universe Gaming. that's the problem with...
Oh, yeah. Fintan, I've got an idea for business.
Bet 366.
Let's talk after the show.
Come at me.
It's like you read my mind these days. We've been doing this too long. But World Gaming, they organise ICE and what's that other one they do, Fintan? IGB affiliate.
The IGB London.
Yeah. Which is it's only 3 months away. Early July.
Perfect. Perfect time to be in London.
Yeah, God, yeah. Even I like London in the summer.
Yeah.
And that's saying something because I fucking hate London.
Book your tickets.
Have we got any other sponsors? Can you think of anybody?
We have the wonderful Optimove.
So wonderful.
Who are another long-term sponsor, which we love. Optimove are famous for their positionless marketing.
This is their third year with us. Did you know that? They're not listening, are they?
Clearly not. But that's fine. It's the best sponsor.
Woo!
No, they listen. They listen for sure. I get notes. So Optimove are famous for positionless marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They can do everything from launching personalized CRM campaigns, dynamically changing casino lobbies, updating your bet slips, and creating gamified experiences. What that means in the real world, to be able to do that as a marketer, you need to wear many, many hats. And Optimove helps you do that and lets you manage the full end-to-end marketing in one place. They were doing AI before it was cool. They're brilliant at what they do. So definitely go to optimove.com, check them out, book a demo, tell them we sent you.
Yeah, definitely do the demo.
Get a free month for free if you tell them we sent you.
Well, that's nice. And it also brings me neatly to our newest sponsor, the magnificent Gaming Laboratories International. Now, GLI support actually means that we could, because GLI, they sponsor both this podcast and Addiction An Hour With Hour. And that support means that I'm able to go to the Risk and Gambling Conference at UNLV this year, where we will be recording episodes of the podcast in a place with basically all of the luminaries of the RG world, academics and researchers and many, many more people. So that's pretty exciting. And so that's the kind of thing that we do with our support, and it makes it possible for us to do three podcasts a week, which is kind of wild. But here's the thing, right? Did you know, Fintan, that GLI is a world-class testing, inspections, and certification company committed to delivering the highest quality land-based lottery and iGaming testing and assessment services around the world?
Really?
True story. If I'm telling any lies, sue me.
No, don't sue.
I mean, just specifically about GLI, not about anything else that I might mention in the podcast. GLI provides suppliers, operators, and regulators with expert guidance for navigating the future of gaming and ensuring gaming innovations meet regulatory standards with confidence in more than 710 jurisdictions. It's a lot of jurisdictions.
Sure is.
But for more information, should you want some, and you should, visit gaminglabs.com. But that's all the sponsors right now. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, it's a lot on one podcast, isn't it?
It is a lot. It is a lot. You know what we should else do?
What else should we do?
We should introduce our guest.
Oh, we've got a guest.
He's been sitting there patiently waiting for us while we...
Yeah, very politely. We're not used to polite guests. But it's a returning guest.
It is.
And dare I say, friend of the podcast. I'm probably just going to get the introduction wrong here. But last time he was on the podcast, he had two colleagues with him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
In fact, didn't he have two colleagues and Stephen DeMar with him? Didn't we do four people on the podcast?
Or he was booked. I don't know if Steve showed up.
Yeah, it was two of us, and then I think he called in. I think
he showed. Yeah, he did. Like he showed up fashionably late.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, but principal and creative director at Casino Gaming Development, aka CGD, because initialisms are all the rage. Just ask GLI. And also a croupier stroke dealer at the Ameristar Casino in Colorado. Angel Espino.
Hey.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me, John. Fintan, good to see you guys.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So I reached out to you, Angel, because I watched a video that you posted on social media.
Oh, yeah.
And it did my head in a little bit. I think, did I send it to you, Fintan? I did, didn't I?
I didn't watch it. Sorry. You sent me so much. No, it was one of those, you know, when you know, when something catches you in the moment, like, oh, I'll get back to that in a minute. Yeah. And then you're in the whatever.
Would you want to take a minute now? I'll chat with Angel.
Pause.
But no, it blew my mind a little bit. And it's one of those things where I can't work out the maths in it. At all.
Yeah.
I really can't. I can't. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense and smarter people than me work the maths out in these things.
Yes.
But it's, I mean, the game looks fantastic. Like if I saw that in a casino, I would totally play
awesome.
It. And there's not many games I would say that about, right? I think it looks fantastic. It looks quick and easy to pick up. A little bit mind blowing. Well, it's just in the number of different ways to win.
Correct. Yeah.
So stop me. First up, what's the name of the game? It's on your shirt.
Yes. The name is Pokerjack. And I know the name kind of grabs you at first. What does that mean? So usually when we label a game, we want to make sure that the title of the game kind of pretty much describes, or we hope it describes, the game completely. So poker, meaning you have one side of your hand can be played as poker hand, and then you have blackjack on the other side. So you have the ability to play either or both. So we named it Poker Jack.
So that's the mind-blowing thing, right? So I'm dealt three cards. Stop me if I'm wrong, because I might be remembering the video wrong here. I'm dealt three cards face down.
Right.
And then I look at my three cards, and I decide whether I want to play it as a poker hand or a blackjack hand.
Correct. Yes. And you have a
or both.
Point. What's really neat about the game is, like you said, it's simple to learn because it doesn't alienate the player from something completely different. It's still familiar with your three-card poker variation game. And at the same time, we just added a blackjack wager to it. So it's not too far-fetched. The really cool thing about it is it speeds up the hands per hour. So it's only one decision point. You look at your cards, you call either your poker side or your blackjack side, or you can call both. Or if you really have bad hands, you just fold.
So that's like, presumably I'm putting an ante in order to get the hand. If I fold, I just lose the ante.
Correct.
But it's really interesting mathematically because I don't know what this would be in terms of statistical probability, but three blind cards... three blind cards are dealt. I look at the cards. I can go, I want to bet on this as a blackjack hand. I want to bet on this as a poker hand. So you bet on both. And there's like, so your ante's at the top and you've got like poker on the left, blackjack on the right or whatever of where the cards are dealt.
Correct.
And you, but I would think the statistical probability of not having a working blackjack hand out of three cards, I would think the probability of not having a blackjack hand is probably quite high, isn't it?
Yeah, it's about 30% of the time that you would have a bust hand that you might get over 21. So you add your three cards and whatever that comes out to. If you have a bust hand, then you don't want to call your blackjack hand. You just lose the ante. But what's really neat about it, though, if the player has anything between a 5-6 through 21, you want to call even if you have a very low hand, because it's same thing works for the dealer. If the dealer has a 30% probability of busting as well, so it works both ways. So if long as you don't bust or you don't have over 22, you want to call your hand.
Presumably, you can't do any of the sexy little things that you can do in blackjack. You can't like split aces or anything like that.
Correct. Yeah, because
And you couldn't get blackjack anyway, could you?
well, that's the beauty of it, is that it's gonna speed up. It feels like blackjack, but it speeds up the game. You don't have to wait till somebody makes a decision, split, double down, hit or don't hit. So here, you just call. Everybody calls one time or folds, and you just. But it's got the look and feel of blackjack, because every time I deal any three card poker variation, I always get players that would tell me, it's like, I'm on the wrong table. I got a 10, 8, 3, and that's a 21. And that's what I got the idea when I was dealing, because I was like, well, if you keep getting 21s, 20s, good blackjack hands, but horrible poker hand, I felt that maybe I should look into it. And the math came out beautiful. It worked for both blackjack and poker.
So what's the payout?
Hang on, Fintan, I've got a crazy idea here. Now, get this. This is absolutely mental.
Yes.
What if you threw in an additional card that was a zero?
You just blew my mind.
What would happen then, John?
Well, it would increase the likelihood of having a workable blackjack hand, wouldn't it?
Well, you can still have a blackjack. So we pay 2 to 1 on what's called a super shot wager. And that pays you on any total of 21 and pays 2 to 1. So if the player has.
Yeah, that's one of the most interesting things about this game is the potential for further side bets.
Correct. Yeah, we added the super shot that pays you both on your three card poker hand, and it pays you as well on your total of 21. So if you have, even if you have 10, 10 ace, it's still a total of 21. And you get paid 2 to 1 on the super shot wager.
Or in my hand, ace 10-0.
Well, I mean, I like the concept, but it'll just throw the math off dramatically. So,
Yeah, but in a good way.
yeah, we.
I'm going to take some zero cards into a casino with me. Sorry, Fenton, what were you going to
So,
say?
okay, so to walk me through. So, I bet my ante's a dollar. I get my hand. I look at my three cards, and this is my decision point.
Correct.
What do I bet next, or what's
It's
the
called a call bet.
what happens
Yeah,
next?
it's called a call bet. So you make one ante for your poker side and one ante for your blackjack side, and both antes have to match. And once you get your three cards, you make a decision whether you want to play poker or blackjack or both. If you do, you would have to make a double call bet. So you call your poker hand or you would call your blackjack hand. If you didn't want to play your blackjack hand, you don't call it. You just lose the ante, but you would call your poker hand.
Oh, so it's two antes. Okay, I understand. Okay, that makes more
Yes,
sense.
and then two call bets.
Okay, so two antes. I get the option for zero, one, or two call bets. And then the payouts for the poker and the blackjack.
They're both even money on both sides. On the ante and the call bet, they pay even money. So that's why we added the super shot. So that way, if you get a really strong hand, for example, three of a kind, then we would pay accordingly on the three of a kind. Or
Okay,
maybe.
so the you sorry, you'll have to walk me through three card poker
Okay.
rules. I'm sorry,
No, no worries. I can walk you
I'm
through.
more a Texas Hold'em guy. I've never done three card poker, so explain. Yeah, just explain that to me. Sorry, like I'm an
Oh, no
idiot.
problem. So
So.
every player receives three cards, and the dealer gets three cards face down. Both the player and the dealer get three cards. So the whole objective is that the player gets to look at their cards, and basic strategy would tell you want to keep like a queen 10 or better on basic strategy. And on the dealer side, on the traditional three-card poker, the dealer needs a queen to qualify. On poker jack, it all depends on what the operator wants to qualify as a qualifying hand. So we can go as low as eight high, nine high, 10, or jack high, depending on what house edge you want. So let's say hypothetically we're going to go with the 10 for the dealer side, but I'll go through that in a minute. Player side, you get to look at your three cards and make a decision point. Do I have a strong hand to try to beat the dealer with my three cards against the dealer's three cards? So let's say you have a king high, king 10, 9, or something. So then you would do a call bet and hope that the dealer either doesn't qualify and you still win your ante, or does qualify and you can beat his hand with your hand. That would be your kind of your traditional three card poker.
Got
Yeah.
it.
And
And then if I beat the dealer, how much do I win?
You get even money.
How does that work?
You will get even
Taking
money
out.
on your ante and your call wager. On now, the good thing about this game is that you'll see a lot of times that you don't catch a card, you don't catch a good card worth playing, but we want to keep the game interesting. So now you have the option to play the blackjack side of it. So if you get very low cards, for example, 10, 7, 4, that's a terrible poker hand. But what's neat about it is now you have the option to play the blackjack wager. So you have two ways to win, and just keeps the game interesting. So you always have a hand to play. And if you okay.
Sorry, can I, if I'm playing the blackjack hand, can I like get more cards, or that it's just the three
That's it.
cards? So it's just me versus the dealer.
Correct. Yeah, you get the three cards. The math worked out really well because what we've noticed is that a third of the time, or a little bit over 30% of the time, you're going to get over 22, but the other 60% of the time, you're going to have a hand to play. And you want to play everything that you don't bust. You want to call everything, no matter if it's a total of 9 points or a total of 11, because then you're risking that the dealer busts. So you're hoping that the dealer has like 10, 10, 5 or something like that. So the dealer, the same thing, rules apply for the dealer. If the dealer has, you have three cards you can't hit, the dealer doesn't have to draw cards, flips them over, and whatever the result is, we would pay and take.
Understood. Okay, so it seems like really quick to learn
Correct. Yeah.
and a lot of action.
A lot of
There's always that you've always got
You
action,
always have
basically.
action either on the player, on the poker side, or on the blackjack side. You're always going to have one or the other. And that's one of the things that I like to do creating games is it's a good RTP and a good hit frequency. You don't want to sit there and not catch a hand in within 5, 10 hands. You want to at least have something to play every hand or every other hand. And this game allows you to have action almost every hand.
Got it. And what does the house edge look like on this?
Yes.
How does that
Yeah,
work?
the house edge. So if the dealer, if the operator can choose from the qualifying hand. So let's just say hypothetically, we're going to start with the nine qualifier. The dealer has to have a nine to qualify. It would be 3.1. The 10 to qualify would be 5.1%. Jack to qualify, 7.7%. And we also created an eight high to qualify at 1.7%, but that'd be more likely to be added for the online version. In the online gaming space, you want to have the highest RTP, the return to player, as possible. So we also have the math for that as well. And GLI is working on our math as we speak. We already have the preliminary math, and GLI is going to just verify our math, which we're pretty close. We always hit about 9.9% accuracy, but GLI is always our go-to to verify our math. Little plugin.
We love you, GLI. It's okay. Presumably, for this game to be launched, you've been testing. Has it been at Ameristar? Where has this been tested in a casino?
Not yet. We just did the soft launch at IGA in San Diego, and about a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and we invited some of our operators to come and see it. The video you just saw was an influencer that filmed it. His name is Casino Fanatic Andy, and he reached out. He goes, "I like the game. Can I film it?" So we did, and he put us on the map. Now we have about 5 operators that are interested in the game now. Some properties in Minnesota, in Michigan, California, and so in Las Vegas. So we're excited to just get it out there. So as soon as we get the GLI report completed and verified, then we can start putting applications to game approval in certain jurisdictions.
Now, I think, like I said, I mean, if I saw this in a casino, I'd sit and watch some people playing it, and then I'd have a go. Because I think it's got that combination of simplicity to deal.
Yes.
And simplicity to play. So, because that's one of the things that sometimes people forget, that if you're creating a game, it might be a brilliant idea for the player, and it might be this, that, and the other. But if it takes too long for a dealer to learn, you're screwed.
Yes, 100%. I'm glad you brought that up.
And you're essentially...
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because we have some games that we've developed that are a little bit, you know, it takes a learning curve for the dealer to pick it up. Baikar Paigao, it's a great game. I think it's the next Paigao. But the House Edge, it takes a little bit more focus to learn the House Edge. So it's a whole new strategy. The dealers have to rewire their brain from traditional Paigao to new Paigao. So for this game, I went back to the drawing board and just keep it simple. Simple, simple for the dealer, simple, simple for the player, and not try to reinvent the wheel all over again and just add something to something that's familiar already. And what's really neat about it is the hit frequency. So one thing that I focus, like I said, is the hit frequency, the RTP. Players like to hit something. You might lose one unit but win 2 units. It feels good, and you want to keep people on the seats. So, but the learning curve is on the dealer side. It's such a big obstacle trying to learn new games. It's you know, not everybody wants to learn a whole new game. You know, you just want to go back to work, do what I'm doing, and don't change anything. So what I like to do is create a game that's easy, and it's also fun and exciting for the dealer and the players. And with a good House Edge, good return for the house, too, they're happy and everybody's happy. But simple is the key now.
So it's, I suppose my question is then, is obviously you're going to get some casinos who are interested and they're going to test. Getting a new game into a casino isn't easy.
No.
What does testing look like? And what's the casino looking for while they're testing? Because obviously they're going to have KPIs and metrics and
analytics,
various bits and pieces. Like what are you trying to, you know, what numbers are you trying to hit when you get in the door, or what are you optimizing?
Yes. When I approach an operator, the way I pitch a game is I try to find which is their lowest performing game and try to replace that game. I used to aim for the big dog, you know, the biggest earner. And now I change my thought and is which is your lowest performing game that's similar to what I have so I can replace it. So it doesn't, I'm not trying to change it. That's my goal. But operators, what they look for is if I'm going to replace your game with whatever game I'm about to take out, it's got to at least perform that good or better. Whatever that math is, sometimes they're looking for a specific house edge, should I say what's called a hold, H-O-L-D. And depending on that hold, is it holding? Is the drop? Drop is whatever they buy in, the players buy in, the guests buy in. Is the drop as healthy, and is the hold what we're looking for? So you have to look at those numbers. So as an operator, if I replace Poker Jack with this other traditional game, is it outperforming that game? And sometimes you can hit the mark and you're doing better than that game that you replaced, which is always a plus. But there's also certain properties want that game to hit it out the gate. They'll give you a 3-month trial. And if those 3 months it doesn't perform, even though the game is great and it takes a learning curve, it takes players to get used to it, and in 3 months it doesn't perform, it's out the window. So the goal is to create a game that's like John said, is something easy, quick, you can catch on the first time you play it, and you'll come back the next day, next week, and for it to grow. That's the key for a good game.
Super interesting. So we had an amazing lady called Stacy on last week. We met her, recorded last week with her, and she works for a company called N-Cube, which is a Canadian company that helps casinos map out their floor plans and like optimize floor plans and maximize revenue. And but it's not just revenue, it's also looking at like customer flow and where they're sitting, and you know, so it's a whole dynamic kind of floor plan of customer flow. How, because obviously the casino says yes, fine, but they're going to stick you in a corner in the back that nobody visits, or they're going to put you in a really high traffic area, which, so I suppose, are they just looking at the revenue numbers, or are they looking at how it can change? Like if you've got a game that's fun and exciting and everybody's winning, and you know, it's bums on seats and it's busy. Like, look, apart from the money metrics, the customer behavior around that table becomes super important and how it could influence the rest of the casino. Are they thinking about that, or is it just me overthinking it?
No, I think you hit it right on the spot. I think an innovative or an operator, I say operator, table games manager or pit boss or a gaming director. I like those that like look at all the analytics, like what you're saying, and they're trying to put a game. If they really believe in the game, they really want to put it in a high traffic area. Whether it's going to replace a game that it's already making, it's the number one game or in the top five games, top producer. They're willing to take that risk and put you up front. Sometimes I work with operators that they'll put a new game in the weekend pit. Well, if it's overflow here, we'll put it over there and we'll open it only 4 hours a day on Friday, Saturday. And the game has no shot. It's dead on arrival, you know. And I mean, it's just so hard. You want to put it where it's going to get high traffic and give it the best shot possible. And I've worked with some operators that truly believe that. Look, I like the game. I think we're going to give it everything we've got. And if it doesn't, I'll know in the first 3 months because I know I give it everything we could. So, but I believe it all depends on the operator. Some people think differently. They're like, look, I kind of like it, but it's not going to be in the front. I'll kind of put you in the back of the pit, and then it's hard for it to survive. You know, if it's out in the back, you want to give it everything you got, put it in the front, high traffic, and you'll know for sure. You won't have any doubts whether it didn't get traffic flow or it didn't. It just put it in the front, give it as much exposure as possible. Sometimes we have operators that do some marketing. They'll even put billboards on the highway and say, "Hey, new game over here." So I really like working off with operators like that that give a new game a shot. They really believe in it. But you're right, there's something on the
Got
way.
it. Okay. It's a trade. It's well, it's like if you think of supermarkets or trying to like sell a new, I don't know, a new soda or a new beer, or kind of introducing anything where real estate is limited
Yes, correct.
in a very, because you know, like, okay, it's silly, but you know, Coca-Cola will give the supermarket the fridges for free, and it can only be Coca, or like the 7-Eleven, you know, get the fridge for free, and it can only be Coca-Cola products in these top shelves, right? So the big guys can kind of dominate space, and you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there. So it must be really difficult to break through.
It's so complex. I kind of give you an idea of how hard it is to stay in. I've heard some numbers where only 5% of all games developed actually hit a gaming floor. And then only 5% of those games actually stay on the floor. So you're shooting.
Oh wow. So if you take 100 games, five hit the floor and none of them actually stay, right?
And then from there, well, those new games only 5% will stay. So your probability is like 1% or 0.1%. You know, it's really,
Yeah, it's tiny. And what, but what's, okay, but once your game stays and sticks, what's your business model? Is it a licensing model, or like how does the game developer model work?
Yes, you license the game to the property. You get a monthly installment of whatever you agree upon, you know. And the, our approach, like you said, like Coca-Cola is like you were saying, or a different product manufacturer. Our goal is to wrap what I call the CGD Max site license, where you get all CGD products, seven games for one price. And you get unlimited games. So because we're a small operator, we're a small operation, we want to get exposure. So we're trying to give you our whole library for one price, and you can use as many games, as many titles, and you get grandfathered in for future games. So right now we're working with, we're trying to double our library. So we're working about 7-8 more table games. So all those will fall into your site license.
Got an idea.
Yeah. And then,
no, go on, John. John's got a question. Go on.
Well, it's just, I wanted to, you were saying about the video that was done at IGA. Now, tribal casinos have a reputation, and as far as I'm aware, it's a well-deserved one, for being strong early adopters of technology and new games and all sorts. And frequently, when you see new games are being tested, it's there's one California casino in particular that's name has just completely escaped me, but they're a great testbed for games.
Yeah.
Now, is that what you found as somebody that is pitching?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's kind of interesting because it could be like a tribal property. Sometimes local properties here in Colorado, I go for the mom and pop casinos, the smaller ones, the privately owned casinos, because they're willing to take a chance on you. You know, and the bigger properties, it's harder because
they're looking for the edge, aren't they?
Yeah, they're looking for the edge, and they're also not risking too much. You know, the bigger properties that get high flow traffic, they're like, well, this game has to make me, you know, 50,000-70,000 a day or whatever, and it's got to hit the mark right out the gate. So they don't want to take a risk on a new game. So you go to a smaller local property where they're like, well, we're willing to throw anything at it to get people in. But sometimes you'll be surprised of some of the smaller properties. You have the most innovative table games managers where they're like, they're looking for that edge. Like you said, they're looking for the next big thing. And they're the ones that actually discover more games because they're willing to take a chance on anybody. And I really like the way they're forward thinkers. And we go to the Saratoga Casino here in Blackhawk with Marcus Rothbach, and he's giving three of our games a field trial. Every time we're looking for a field trial, you have to get approved by the state of Colorado. So I go to him, and he's like, what else you got? All right, if he likes it, he'll put it in. And he's giving me a lot of opportunities.
In terms of events that you go to publicize these, what are key events for you, and what makes those events key? And I'm not asking this on behalf of World Gaming at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so if I were to go to World Gaming and I see an operator walking by, what they're looking for is the first thing that I like to design a great logo to catch your eye. The layout has to look clean and polished. You know, you want to make sure it's not too busy. If it looks too busy, the layout, and you can't figure out the game, that is a big distraction. So you want to make sure the layout looks clean and polished. So, but the rules of the game, when you deal the game, you want to make sure you deal it as in a professional setting. So the team that I brought together, that I put together, Kathy Liu, Colin Fain, and Tama Van Keel, we're all dealers. So when we go to these events, we deal the game like professionals, like you would see it in the live action on the gaming floor. So that way the operator can see it and go, oh, it's that easy. My dealer can really pick it up, and it's so clean and so simple. So the pitch is try to describe the game within 30 seconds, and hopefully the viewer can understand the game within two hands. If you can get it with one or two hands, we got a hit. At IGA a week and a half ago, I saw two players sit down, two guests sit down, and they dealt the hand. One of them got the game so fast that at the second hand, he was explaining to his buddy, oh, no, this is what you do and this is what you don't do. It was that quick. So I knew that's the moment I knew we have something right there. When one guy can explain the game to the next guy within the second hand. And I was really impressed, really impressed. But that's the goal. Be able to pitch the game quick. If you can explain the game to a drunk guy at 2 a.m. walking by, and he buys in and he can get the game, you have a winner right there.
You're on mute, John.
No. The classic example of the game that's an absolute piece of piss to deal for the dealer to understand and the player to understand, it's usually cited as Casino War.
Yeah.
Now that game could not be. I'm trying to develop the you know the I'm going to assume that you know this, being a master of table games as you are, the game Shithead. Are you familiar with
Oh,
Shithead?
no, but I think you mentioned it last time on our interview.
Yeah, he's only got so many stories.
I'm still trying to develop the end game of Shithead as a casino game, but I think it's got legs.
Well, you know, let me know. Send me the rules of play, and then I'll figure out how
I
to
might cut you in on my deal.
do it. And what would be the logo, though?
Well, that's where it markets itself.
It just becomes the poop emoji, right? This is easy. It's a smiley face with the poop emoji on top of it. And it's just designed for millennials or
The
whatever the fuck this is.
merchandise could be bigger than the game itself.
Well, you'd be surprised, though. I'm glad you brought a point of the next generation of players. What I'm noticing now, and this is what I love about being a dealer, I'm working 8 hours a week in the casino. I'm doing 40 hours of R&D every day, and 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. What I'm noticing is the next generation of gamblers that are coming into the industry, they're younger, of course, and they're looking for the quickest, easiest game. We call it the TikTok generation, right? They just want instant gratification, no decision points, no strategy. So I don't know if your game might hit that mark. You never know.
So funny you should say this. I was watching The Pit the other night with my wife. It's this like new medical drama set in an ER. Basically, it's like ER 2.0, right? And I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, I get it. They've made it for TikTokers because the storyline kept shifting every like 15, 20 seconds
Yes.
to like the next thing in the ER. And the next, so there's like seven or eight storylines all happening at once,
Yes.
and it's constantly shifting stories
Correct. Yeah.
and they overlap and they do
Jesus.
whatever, but it's just constant scene shifting within the space, like the
That
different
sounds
locations.
horrendous. Yeah, because
And I'm like, that's why this is so popular.
They're wired differently than you and I. We can sit there and watch a drama show, let the story build up slowly, but now it's like
Oh, I can't anymore. I'm ruined. I've got my phone in my hand. I'm scrolling. I'm keeping an eye on this. I'm messaging people. I'm 15 things. It drives my wife nuts. I'm doing 10 different things on the sofa at the same time. But if we talk about, if, just to, we've talked about the kids in social media or the young adults in social media. There is a marketing strategy there as well, though, right? So if you look at like the online, like the crypto casinos online and stuff, and they've been really good at using influencers to grow their business, but also to grow games. So if you look at Crash Games online, are super popular, like old stuff like Plinko,
It's coming back.
right?
It's coming
Huge. Plinko is huge. And why is Plinko huge? Well, Plinko is huge because lots of streamers are playing Plinko and it's big jackpots and it's numbers and there's stuff happening, right? And then it's like, well, if you don't have Plinko or you don't have a Crash game, you don't have an online casino anymore, right? You're just like, to this audience, you're just dead. How could you use influencers to popularize a new game? So same thing as PokerJack's perfect, right? It's quick, there's action, there's lots of payouts, it's a good RTP, so there's always stuff going on. So it's perfect for video. Because from your business perspective, like you trying to pitch a casino of like, oh, please take my game and test it, versus customers saying, oh, you don't have PokerJack, you suck, and they walk out the door, completely changes the dynamic. And now I know it's very easy to say, but is there ways you could incorporate that into your model?
Yes, and that's our next move is we've had a gentleman, Casino King, here in America. He did a video, a short of three shot poker at one of his properties in Minnesota and Mille Lacs Grand Casino. His view right now, his video is up 858,000 views, and it blew our game up. Like now, people are asking for three shot poker.
Which, so if you think of like one of your trials, if you could get like depending on the property and stuff, but like if you could get a couple of these guys in a different time, like particularly early, right, to start playing and streaming and drive footfall. Because I live in Amsterdam, so it's one of those cities with lots of tourists, lots of TikTokers and stuff. So I was going to a shop the other day, and there was like this, the Dutch call it frites, so like French fries. So it's just this French fry store, right? And they put like topping. You get like a box, and they put toppings and stuff. This place was so TikTok famous. They had not only a queue outside the door, but a queue across the road on the bridge. They had people in like high-vis jackets making sure that the people eating their frites weren't like annoying the neighbors and like disrupting the other businesses around them. And this was just 50 people deep constantly for whatever reason, right? Now, there was another place like four doors down, which was just as good, but doesn't have the social media team,
No,
right?
it's a new reach. It's a new way to reach out to the next generation. It's influencers are now the key, and a lot of properties, a lot of casinos are starting to realize that and allowing you to stream or film. You don't have to do live streaming. That's the biggest worry for privacy issues and stuff like that. But that's the way to go. And I'm reaching out now to a lot of influencers and invite them to the next.
Brilliant.
And I'll send you shirts. I'll send you swag so you can wear while you film. And I reached out to Casino Kelly. She's awesome. She's amazing. She's one of the first ones that put three shot poker on the map. She actually traveled to a couple of places where we launched, and she played the game in Pottawatomie, at Saratoga, casino in Black Hawk, and she went out there and did videos. So she's amazing. Casino King has already done a couple of videos. We're excited about that. And then now with Casino Fanatic, Andy. And he did a really good job, did a real quick short, and I emailed that to operators so they can get the idea of how the game works. And it's such a great tool. And what's really neat about influencers is that they actually reach out to me sometimes and be like, what else you got? Because they want to be the first ones to show
If they get new content,
Like new
right?
content,
It's
fresh content, what are you doing? Where are you launching? What's going on? They want to be the first. So we work hand in hand. We give them content, and then they give us exposure. So it's a great marriage. It's a really cool collaboration.
John, who was that really nice influencer we had on?
Oh, that's a great question.
Oklahoma, was he in Oklahoma or somewhere?
He was, yeah, and he specialized in there's a particular type of slot in Oklahoma, and I can't remember what they're called. It's like red slots or something.
Hang on, let me look them up.
I'm going to say Steve.
It could be.
No,
Sounds.
that narrows it down.
Well, I've just put a particular search into LinkedIn, and let's
Oklahoma
see
casino reviews.
what the hell. Yeah, that's just gone badly wrong.
Oh yeah, OCR.
Mike
OCR.
Luchtenberg.
That's it.
Oh.
Oklahoma
He was,
casino and slot influencer.
and his website is Oklahoma Casino
Oh,
Reviews.
cool.
We'll introduce you after. He's brilliant.
Oh, I'll reach out.
He's a lovely guy. He's a really
Yeah,
lovely
he's
guy.
done some great
Yeah.
stuff.
Huge, huge.
Yeah,
So,
he's a really good guy.
slot influencers are huge. They get a big following, a lot bigger than table games, but that's because the majority of the property is the slots. Table games such a small.
Yeah, and he was at the time he was talking like he'd organize because it was a long time ago since we talked to him, and at the time like a lot of casinos were very we don't want
Yeah.
this, but then they realized like oh not only is he like streaming but he's actually bringing like people are coming to the casino to meet him,
Yes.
and so he's driving footfall, and then they do like they're all sitting around beside him playing at the same time and.
When he started, it was such a niche slot that he was looking at that, he I think there's great mileage in finding your niche kind of thing. But I mean, he's doing more since then. But that was where he started. But he was saying that some places were really quite
Anti?
hostile.
Oh yeah,
Yeah, they didn't like
it's
it.
just the old way of thinking. We have operators that don't even want to allow a phone on the table, which is understood. There's advantage play. There's people that are always trying to find that edge. But when it comes to filming and an influencer, there's protections you can put in there. You can block out. You make sure you don't film the dealers or guest spaces. You can just film the table. There's, and you can edit after, and you can have the operator approve it and make sure that it looks good through their legal. And then, so there's different ways to approach it. It's just that sometimes some operators think 20, 30 years back and be like, no, no filming. No, I won't accept it. But they're starting to realize that that's the way to go. That's free marketing, and it's 10x. They reach out hundreds and hundreds of thousands of viewers, and it's instant. You can film today and post it in a few minutes, a matter of minutes. You know, so it's a huge advantage, and that I think that's the way to go. That's the future. Influencers.
I was talking to a guy in Northern Ireland who does food reviews, and he reckons he can cause traffic jams at the weekends. Yeah. With his videos.
Oh, yeah.
So he can like just gridlock a place.
Yeah.
With, that's like, powerful. You know, this is the best barbecue place, and then boof, that's it for the weekend. It's like wall to wall traffic.
That's powerful in itself, you know? And the influence that they have and the following that they have. Some of these guys have millions of followers. And it'll bring people in that would have never stopped by. They didn't know that you had that game or never heard of a game.
Yeah, exactly. It's
and for us, we don't have a marketing budget. We don't have a marketing team. It's just us. So getting involved with influencers is a way for us to compete with the big guys.
Makes sense. Makes perfect sense. It's honestly just that should be your tactic. Because if customers are demanding the game, the casino's got no choice.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Like it's easy to say, but that's like, it'll really help. And then the flip side is if you've negotiated it, like, okay, we're getting a test. Like, hey, what can we do to activate it?
Yes.
To drive our own traffic to it as well. And then just create that kind of buzz around.
Correct. It. Yeah. Well, I'm talking to an operator in Blackhawk and they're considering to put in one of my games. So I already got a contact with three influencers willing to fly in and be at the launch of the game. So,
fantastic. Well done.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that's it. And great. They said it's okay now. They're like, we'll approve it, let them reach us. And then when we launch, they can come in. Now we have three influencers that are going to reach out over a million people. Instantaneous.
Oh, that's it. You're going to fly. Okay, brilliant. You've got it sorted then. Good.
Yeah. You got to get creative when you don't have a lot of resources, man.
Exactly.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Hey, yes, sir.
That's why I love horror movies. I've also just messaged Mike and said that we'll put you guys in touch.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you doing that for us. Thank you so much.
I just did it just now because I'd forget.
I'm the same way. I'll be thinking about what was that thing I was supposed to up to the next.
That's it. Fenton's the organized one here.
Oh, nice. Well, somebody's got
to
be right.
It pains me to say that. He's the organized one. He's the details guy. He's got hair. What am I even doing here, Angel?
Well, you bring the entertainment value, you know. I like your sense of humor, your dry sense of humor.
I'm not even sure about that.
In a bad mood, or you're like in the happiest mood? Or
they're all pretty similar.
It's a very tight range.
very even.
You'll talk about the weather. It could be good or bad. I don't know. You're like, is it rain? Is that bad? Is it good?
Do you know, though, right? My kids, I got some, I got birthday cards off my kids last year. And they all said, what a happy dad I am.
You see?
And awesome. I realized with my kids, although somebody in my life has recently said to me that, like, I just don't display any emotion whatsoever. And I said to that person, I said, no, that's just to you. Because to the kids, I've always made sure with the kids, I always smile when I look at them. Because I need them to know how happy I am to be around.
But I think they also already picked up on your humor. So they're like, if you're saying something, they probably go, oh, it's just dry sense of humor, or you're just making a joke of something by acting like a certain way.
Am I though?
Example, perfect, right there.
Why am I just a terrible, terrible human being?
I love it.
If people want to play Poker Jack, Is it available on your website or videos, or where can people see the game, or what
Well,
can you do
as of
now?
right now, you can reach out to me through my email or my website. But we're working on an app. Like, we're always working on a gaming app so you can play the game for fun. So that's in the process right now. Because
Cool.
we just did the soft launch. So once we get a good response, then we know to invest the capital into an app. And then start marketing. It'll launch at G2E. The official launch would be at G2E. We're going to give away some swag, some
Right.
shirts, some, get to play. There'll be a tournament to play and be the top, get the top tier to win some gifts.
Fenton, if we get another sponsor, we might be able to go to G2E.
Think we
Come
should.
on out, guys.
But I was thinking, why I was gesturing to my cup here.
Yes.
This valuable real estate.
This is a cup that I use for bone broth.
Oh.
It's good shit,
Because you're a
Fenton.
There's a lot of real estate for a logo, right there.
A lot of real
Exactly,
estate.
exactly.
And but it gets better because, we have one sponsor
Yeah.
here. And
Oh, genius.
Or one sponsor with two messages.
Yeah. I like the real estate nobody's tapped into.
Well, I'm just we've been saying about putting a sponsor on my head for a while, but
Yeah.
nobody's been brave enough to come forward and do that.
If it's a
Yeah,
tattoo.
no. Maybe
The tattoo is the more expensive option. We
I
could
was
get up to
seeing
four
okay.
figures for
Yeah,
that.
we'll send you some swag so you can wear some of our shirts on.
Perfect.
Do you know, Fenton is always the one that gets all the swag, unfortunately.
Happened once. Happened or twice.
Yeah,
Three
twice.
times.
Yeah,
Actually, there's the swag corner over here. You can't see
thank you.
it.
Swag corner. He's being really modest, Angel. He's got a swag wing.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, that's cool. We'll send you some stuff, man. I think you mentioned
It's
you like
something all
to do
successful
a lot of
executives
outdoor
do.
activities, I remember. Right?
Yeah,
So something that
I
will
do.
go with sports athletic gear or something.
T-shirts always work. We always need
Awesome.
T-shirts.
Underwear.
Underwear.
That's some great marketing, right?
I promised a podcast in my poker jack underwear. And we can do that in the reads. You can be like, John, are you wearing your poker jack underwear? And I go, Fenton, I am.
No,
And
we
that's
just flipped the camera. We just filmed from the waist down or something, right?
I can't see that being popular. I've got to be honest with you.
Audio numbers shoot up.
Also, worth pointing out that it's always very, very cold where I record.
Ah, sweaters and polar jackets. Okay, cool.
I keep this room refrigerated. It's my refrigerated podcasting
There
room.
you
So, Angel, thank you very much for joining us. Much appreciated. I love the sound of the new game. I really genuinely do, and that's why I wanted to get you on again, because I think it's
appreciate you.
novel enough but simple enough that I think this might be one that really goes places. And I know how hard it is, because I know like Jeff Hall, Roger Snow, obviously Richard Marcus, friend of the podcast, and talking to those guys, I know how incredibly difficult it is.
Yes, yeah.
So
All right, bro.
we'll keep our fingers crossed for you, because I know there's a lot of good games over the years that have just,
Yeah.
when they're live on the floor and it's sort of, it's no longer a concept, it's reality. Something's not quite, but I think this has got a bit of everything.
I think this is it. I think this
I
is the one.
appreciate. I believe so because of the simplicity of it, and also it's you have to be at the right place at the right time. You not only do you have to do your due diligence and create a great game, but you have to be at the right property at the right place at the right time. If the economy is right, if there's flow, if you're in the right demographic, or you just have the right promoter, the right marketing team in the property, the right dealers to sell it and push it. So a lot of things, the planets literally have to align for you. You can do your work and put in all your work, do your due diligence and do your research and analytics, but you also have to have a lot of luck on your side.
Agreed. Agreed.
Fingers crossed. But it sounds like you're doing everything right.
To create that I appreciate game,
so. That's it.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Sweet. Thank you very much, Angel.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. And I think thank you for all your support.
No worries. Peace out.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Gambling Files podcast, please find us on LinkedIn. Give us a big, juicy, succulent like. That nearly went wrong. You can find us under the name The Gambling Files Podcast. You find us on Twitter under The Gambling Files. I think the handle is just at Gambling Files. You can connect to myself, John Bruford, or Fintan Costello, also on LinkedIn. We're also both on Twitter. And you can find all of our previous episodes at www.thegamblingfiles.com. If you enjoyed it, please share. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your colleagues, and we'll see you next time.